Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, the Nichols and May of the Now Generation, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Welcome, radio listeners everywhere.
You are in fine fettle and articulate as always today.
Yes, Judy. Very articulate.
I know how it pains you to return to the confines of the Heritage Radio Network after your star turn at the Whitney Museum.
The Whitney Biennial.
You were the star.
I was the breakout star of the Whitney Biennial, part of the Michael Clark Dance Experience.
Oh my God, we have achieved guests.
Oh my God. Okay, this is what happens when you're... When you're Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio with Rebel publicists. You know, their whole job is to get people places on time. And here they are walking right in. But before we get to our guests at all.
Right on the nose,
Angie Carlson.
Dude, that's how I work
and
it.
We're here also with Heather West. But before that, Judy, it's a mitzvah. It's a double mitzvah, as my people would say. Okay, it's our 40th.
I know all about you people this week.
Yeah, I know. Trying to get paid for writing a bar mitzvah movie. Good luck with that. But today's double mitzvah is it's our 40th show, and it's your 29th birthday.
Yay! Yay! 29 plus a little.
And also, with us is our corporate sponsor, The Suit.
I feel like Leslie Moonves from CBS coming down. Judy, I want you to know you're the best part about the Mike and Judy Show.
Thank you,
you're
Patrick.
You're the best half, and we love what you do, so this proves how much we love you for radio.
Ooh, booze.
Wait, this place is going to look like the locker room of the New York Yankees in about 2 seconds. Okay. This is Patrick Martins, the proprietor of Heritage Food. He knows his way around a champagne bottle. Yay!
Thank you, Patrick.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And Jack, Judy would like some singing. She specifically requested singing today.
Singing from you and Jack.
Jack, are you ready?
All right, here we go.
Are we singing the happy birthday song?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Excellent.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Well, I had to cut it out before we get, you know, those happy birthday people are very uptight about the copyright.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
We should keep it quiet.
Thanks,
so tell
Jack
us about dancing at the Whitney Biennial with your pal Jarvis Cocker.
With my pal, well, Jarvis Cocker opened for me. It was Michael Clark, this British...
Really? Because I heard it was the other way around.
Zing! He was stalking me. There's a picture of us together. He kept saying, my girlfriend this, my girlfriend that. It's like, fuck your girlfriend. Fuck me! No, not really. But we were... Yeah, it was really fun. He played with his side project, Relaxed Muscle, and we danced to it, and we danced to the song called Be Real, and it was really, really fun. Really fun. And now it's over and my life is back to being...
Wow, I was very impressed and very proud of you.
Thank you so much
awesome.
For coming.
It was awesome. Are you really kidding?
Fun.
This was Michael Clark, if you know the choreographer, Michael Clark, his installation performance at the... Which is sort of a centerpiece of the whole Whitney Biennial, which is a lot of crap, by the way. Okay, I mean, it's some of the worst fucking art I've ever seen. I didn't think it could get any fucking worse, and yet they made it worse.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, here's a bag of garbage. It was one of those things, you know, where you're leaving the gallery, and there's like a garbage can, and someone like put like their soda pop bottle on top of it, and it was like better than anything in the actual gallery, or at least the same. It had the same import. Yeah. It had the same meta.
There was some cool stuff. I mean, like, I really liked the... There were these weird little pods that looked like they were going to eat you, but mostly it escaped me. But yeah, his thing was very ambitious. He got 48 members of the public and trained them to dance with, you know, with his dancers going in between us, which was really like the gazelles amongst the water buffalo in a lot of cases. I was standing next to... I had to dance next to this guy, Harry Alexander, who's this beautiful man. about 6 feet tall, weighs probably 110 pounds, on toe shoes. And I kept wondering, like, we have to run next to each other, and I kept being worried that I was going to take him out. But, yeah.
I would have paid to see that.
I would have ruined his dance career, and he's only 20.
Oh, man.
But it was a very fun experience.
And it was nice. We got to hang out with David Bowie. It was a pleasant
time. David Bowie was there. Stanley Tucci came to see it. Spiro came, and he sat next to John Cameron Mitchell. It was like a lot of gay celebrities were there on the one night. But it was fun. But anyway, back to normal life.
Hey, do you guys want pizza?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We got pizza and champagne, right? You guys want the pizza and champagne Mike and Judy special?
It smells incredible. Right.
That sounds sure.
All right. Well, I'm so thrilled with our guest today, Judy. This is like just giving away free advice. It's going to be the
we
most listened
tips.
To show in the history of the Mike and Judy. We do. The question today is how do we become famous?
Yes.
Are you already famous?
Yeah. Well, Mike, internet radio.
We have what's called regional fame. We're famous in the Heritage Radio Network.
We're famous in this room.
Infamous.
We're one of the top 20 shows on the radio show. And thanks, Patrick, and the Heritage Radio Network for the champagne.
Yeah, nice.
And our friends at Roberta's. So today with us today is my old pal Angie Carlson of the newly formed Propeller Publicity. Super exciting to have you here. We've worked a lot with John Spencer and Heavy Trash, and recently with the Sadies and Andre Williams.
Oh, yeah.
And another great friend of mine, Heather West from Western Publicity.
Hi.
All the way from Chicago. Don't be afraid. Get right up close to that microphone.
Oh, okay.
There.
Sorry, I'm a low talker.
Okay. How do we become famous? What do we do? What's it look like out there?
Seems what does it look like? What do you get? What do you want to get famous for?
Okay, me and Judy. Say Judy and I have a rock and roll band. What's the first thing we should be doing?
Well, y'all just stay home and we get the coke.
I'm so hiring you.
Kind of organized, sort of a meet and greet type of a situation, you know. But you come later, after everybody's high. And then, you know, the magic happens.
That's good. That's exactly the kind of cynicism I expect of you.
Yes. Do you guys ever advise clients to do, like, sex tapes or anything? Or does that not work for music?
But if they had a sex tape, I'd figure out where to put it.
I always thought John and Christina should do a sex tape.
Is there one? No.
There probably is.
We just don't know about it. God damn those people for being discreet.
They're his friends.
My family. They're like my family.
I like making you a couple.
Somewhere, yeah, Charlie, close your ears. Right.
They cats it for me.
It's like mom and dad walking in.
So who are you guys working for now? What's exciting projects you're on? Maybe we can talk about that as a model for success.
Andre. Andre's model for success.
We're going to talk about Andre Williams because you both know him. So let's hang on to Andre Williams for a second.
Andre's model for success was write some great songs, Bacon Fat, Shake a Tail Feather, Jailbait. Jailbait's so awesome. 15, Jailbait. You could probably sing that. But
I think I have.
Yeah, I'm sure you've lived Jailbait. But he took the long way to fame. Like he kind of disappeared for a long time, and now he's back. And but before he was completely back, can we say that he was busted and
you
all
can
that
say
stuff?
Whatever you want. okay, listen. Welcome to the Mike and Judy Show.
Right,
you can
right.
Say
okay.
Any nasty
sir,
thing?
So take your survey.
Can I
survey
just be
crowd?
Myself, Mike?
Oh, right.
I would expect
angel
nothing
dust.
Less.
Has everyone here tried angel dust at some point in their life?
Oh, yeah, delicious
okay.
angel
okay.
dust.
Okay.
I'm on it right
okay.
now.
I think we've had more. Like I said, we've had more angel dust smokers on the show than we've had straight white men.
I'm disappointed in myself for not having smoked
it's
angel
Jack,
dust.
You're young. This time.
I've got some in my bag. It's totally cool. We're gonna smoke up. Yeah, we're gonna
awesome.
Smoke up. And so anyway, he had a bust, a powder bust, at age 70.
Well, during
wow.
the recording of the last record, I talked to him, but I think he finally got him back on the straight and narrow. But you know, I mean, Andre, there are challenges with promoting Andre Williams.
Right. Well, you know, and the Sadies. Whoops. I think it's less challenging than it used to be now that he's cleaned up, you know, and he has, there's like a cool hook. You've got your Andre Williams aftershave.
No way.
You know, he wrote a book.
What's it smell like? Bacon fat?
It smells
bitch, put
revolting.
Some bacon fat.
I'll be honest with you.
Put some bacon fat on that and I'll
it's kind of mind. Like the angel dust version of Axe body spray.
Yeah. Delicious.
But it's a product. It's a fascinating merch product. And, you know,
can I do
like
a quick aside? I worked, one of the most insane things I worked was Tony Clifton, like for Reality Check.
I remember when you
Zabuda.
Were doing Tony Clifton,
and
that was sort of the impetus for me writing that Andy Kaufman piece.
There was a brief thing where he had a Tony Clifton perfume, and it never got off, but I did have a vial of it, and it was
vial being the operative word.
Yes, and it was like kind of like Halston, and it was kind of like 70s, and they were thinking of Mandem, those commercials with Charles Bronson where he like douses himself. They're Japanese, like and he's like in a penthouse in Tokyo, and then all of a sudden he's a cowboy shooting a gun, like poo Mandem, you know. So anyway, celebrity scents. So I'm sure this is another one of those, like, probably not going to be on the Walmart shelf.
Probably not. But it looks so good on the merch table. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so he's self-distributing?
Well, Norton put it out, but, you know, they obviously provide him with product to sell at his live performances.
So I need to buy some, right?
Our
so
good,
obviously
our good
it's
friends
limited
at Norton
edition.
Records. I could just imagine Billy and Miriam like going to some truck stop and buying this stuff by the gallon and pouring it.
Buying pimp oil. Like, you know, gallons of pimp oil and just distributing it in small bottles with labels.
Is it supposed to do anything for you? Is it like got, you know, powers?
Hey, I'll tell you what, for all our younger listeners, hey, Jack, we got an Andre Williams song actually queued up. Why don't we spin that right now for all of our younger listeners who know neither Andre Williams or Charles Bronson.
Or the, yeah, whatever.
Broadcasting live from Roberta's, it's the Mike and Judy Show on the Heritage Radio Network. It's Judy McGuire's 29th birthday.
Woo!
29 and hold. 29 and holding. And our 40th episode. Can you believe it? They said it wouldn't last.
40 seems like such a big number.
And we're here with Angie Carlson and Heather West, two of Indie Rockdom's best publicists, brightest lights, and they're going to tell us how to become famous. Or... you're working with people who already are famous, which seems like an unfair disadvantage.
I work both gamuts, and then I'll turn it over to Heather because she works something that I love, the Ponderosa Stomp. I adore it. And so, yeah, I work heritage acts, and I also work up-and-coming acts, and they're really, really different. Like, right now I'm working Squeeze, so they're playing Coachella, and they're doing Ellen. And
They're
doing Ellen.
How do you book Squeeze on Ellen?
I saw them at the Palladium.
Ellen decides she wants them. That's how you do it.
Hey, could you get the Mike and Judy
you
on the Ellen?
You have to give yourself some credit for getting Ellen, just because.
It's so rad. But anyway, so that is just kind of harnessing their time, figuring out what they want to do, and finding their fans, and hopefully finding new fans for them. And it's kind of a legacy thing. Like, to me... Squeeze are like Elvis Costello or something.
Yes.
To me, like, I worked their last thing, Spot the Difference, where, and I think this is brilliant. They were one of those artists that didn't own the original versions of their recordings. So they went in and they re-recorded them, and they're talented enough, and the chops are still there, where they did them so well that they dared you to spot the difference and fucking put it out. And it was like, there's our greatest hits. Ha, we reclaimed our shit.
What label was that out on?
It was out on Anchor and Hope. And it fucking is great. Great, great, great. That.
Are they still the same guys?
It's Difford and Tilbrook. And some of the old guys, obviously... what's his name? Jules Holland has a TV show and he's kind of busy. So he doesn't come over. Paul Carrick, I think, tours with them in Europe, but doesn't come over here. But Glenn and Chris sound absolutely the same. I mean, it's just sick. They're so good. So they're going to be at Roseland. I recommend it.
When is the show?
And a couple New Jersey shows. Damn it! Okay. I don't even have it on.
So that's
this
easy,
month.
Squeeze.
This month you can go.
Hey everybody, here's Squeeze. You love them. Ellen says sure, have them on the show. They're at Coachella, which opens a million doors. What do you do for the Unknown Band?
It
has a great record. There's a record, the Mike and Judy Project, and it's swinging, grooving, happening. It's got a beat. You can dance to it.
Get a plan. Like, what do you have? Get your assets. Do you have a video? Do you have any live stuff? Do you have footage? Do you have...
Sure, we have all that.
Bonus tracks.
Yeah, do you have bonus tracks? Do you have... Because everything now is content, and everything is so over quickly. And so artists like Squeeze and stuff, they don't... They're really savvy. They're not a good example. But it's like the Sadies and Andre, you know, I don't have any footage of Sadies and Andre. I don't have a video, you know, I don't have the stuff that you have to do a campaign these days. So it's like, it's a bit more of a challenge. So with young bands, they're pretty good about, you know, doing your social networking, being on Facebook, tweeting, doing Instagram photos, saying where
they're
at.
How important do you think that social media is?
Oh, fucking huge. Probably bigger than anything.
But hasn't it been diluted a little bit now that, like, everybody has access to it? There's so much coming at you. I get invited to like a dozen events, like, you know, every time I turn on this machine.
Well, that's the Facebook thing, but Twitter, it's just fast, and people click on it and they retweet it, and it's just like, I think it's a million times better than Facebook in a lot of ways.
And if you find the people that dig what you're doing and you offer them something, they'll follow you. If the band has personality and the tweets kind of give you a sense that you know them and stuff like that. I mean, like, you guys should tweet like mad because you're funny as hell and you're just, you know, like,
love her.
Like, what you think about your day. Like, hey, I'm out and I'm, you know, like the water buffalo's gazelles.
Yeah, I would read your tweets every day. Hit or miss Judy after Reckless Eric.
I'm going
to
be there.
Jack.
Okay. Nice. Well, to me, it's like the, you know, it's really great if your artists can sort of spend about half of their Twitter time pimping whatever they have going on. Mm-hmm. We've got this show coming up. Yeah. Oh, my God, we're in the horrible turnpike, but we're going to be in New York tomorrow.
But they can't do too much. People that just pimp it have to be funny.
Like, what's that girl Katie from La Sierra, that band? She's great. You know, she talks about all kinds of funny stuff, and so then she sort of interjects.
This band that I work with, the Etts, are really funny.
Yeah, they're great.
The Etts are pals, and their stuff's always funny.
Are they client of yours?
They have been for years. Right now, they're in between records, but they're pals, and, you know. So it's like, their stuff, yeah, I've worked a few records with them and helped out with parting gifts and stuff. So they're a hoot. They're just naturally a hoot, you know.
Yeah, the personality really helps.
Yeah.
I have a couple of Memphis artists, one of whom goes to the public library to check his email. So you can imagine what his social media presence might be like. And then people respond to him and they retweet his things and it's great, you know, and it's just free. And it's
what is the biggest mistake a young band can make?
Trying to look around, see what's going on, and fit in. I mean, the stuff that's going to make it is the stuff like that truly the people... I mean, you could make it like that maybe for a little while, but...
Katy Perry seems to be doing okay.
Katy Perry is going to do fine because she's smart and she has people writing songs for her and she will let them make her hair any color and she's a product and she knows she is and right. It's cool.
And that's what it is. So different than what we do.
Yeah.
Bands that really succeed are the ones that are just themselves. They're not like, oh, wait, this is popular right now, so we should do that. It's like, this is who we are. This is what we do.
But I mean,
that's what people respond to.
The Katy Perrys, I mean, I respect her work ethic, you know, I mean, and she's got, like, I'm sure a team. It's like, I'm sure every decision for Katy Perry has, you know, teams upon teams upon teams. And that's like the difference between like saying, you know, like Ford and Honda and somebody that works on their cars that is a really rad car. And you know what I mean?
Right.
Like it's like Walmart versus, you know, your cool store down the street.
McDonald's versus Roberta.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. No, Pizza Slut versus Roberta.
And the Pizza Sluts will inherit the earth.
Unfortunately. Hey, did you just see the thing where there's the hot dog? Was it Domino's where you can get the hot dog baked in the crust? I was talking about that last night with some Scottish people. I went to see Scottish band. They go, you can get a hot dog baked in a crust. You know,
that's a lot of tube steak.
That is a lot of tube steak. But like, and there is a market for that. that shit. And there's a market for Katy Perry, and then there's a market for
what is the market for an indie band? Because you work with some up and coming bands for like their first release on labels, and like labels aren't the thing they used to be. Is my understanding, the guys I know, and you know my own so-called music career, it doesn't have the impact that it used to. No. Anybody has access to distribution; you can get it out. It's very difficult to sell records, of course, these days. I mean, it's really about getting people to come out to your shows, right?
Yes, and when they get there, honestly, my band sells so much more vinyl than they sell CDs. It's like really kind of a big decision to even make CDs anymore because no one cares. You have downloads. You know, you put a download card inside the album or you staple it to a T-shirt and tack a couple extra bucks on and they get the music and the T-shirt. Nice. And then they're out, like,
walking around.
And people
collect the vinyl, yeah.
You know, and everybody loves vinyl. It just sells through.
So
you know?
Who are some of the bands you're working with now?
Who, me?
Yes.
I'm working with John Paul Keith and Jack Oblivion, who's from the
great Oblivions. We love Jack Oblivion.
Yay.
They have a new record coming out, actually, on In the Red that I'm not involved with, but I'm super excited about
it. In the Red never hires anybody. I used to bug Larry, too. It's like, he's like, why should I pay somebody? So, whoops. No. I was like, shout out to Larry.
But you know what? And we love In the Red. We love the Oblivions.
I love In the Red. You know, I love it. Put it out.
I believe the Andre Williams you just heard was on In the Red, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, Andre's a label slut. He puts out stuff on all sorts of labels. Yeah.
Right. But label slut, pizza sluts.
There's so many sluts. What's going on?
Welcome to the Mike and Judy Show. Why should I pay for a publicist? I mean, that's the question. I've had mixed experiences with publicists for writing books and for being in bands and stuff. Sometimes you've had great success. Sometimes we just get zero. And it seems kind of hard to understand why.
It's funny. I'll say this quick. I'm training an assistant in because I need to do it. And it's like, it's making me realize like how I do it. You know, like you just kind of do it and you forget why or how. And it's like, I'm like, okay, when you do this tour press, you kind of make these relationships and blah, 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 and tell these people you know me and do this and blah, blah, blah. And it is relationships and stuff, but it's also trying to figure out people's tastes. And like when I hear a record, I'm like, okay, this person's going to dig it. This person's going to dig it. This person isn't going to get it. This is not going to happen. And it's managing expectations for your clients. Like I have clients that, you know, like say a client comes to me that's like sort of a legacy client and goes, I hear Pitchfork's important. I'm like, dude, that's not going to happen. And that's not important for you, you know? Or do you know what I mean? Like,
sure. No, I know people who a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. Certainly,
right.
Especially for what you call the legacy acts or the heritage acts, these old codgers who just, you know, found out about this internet thing. It's just sort of kept bubbling up to catch up to them. You're right. It's not their audience.
It's like knowing who's going to bite on what, trying to keep up sort of with everything.
I mean, how do you keep up? There's so much media writing about music.
And there's so many fucking bands. I pick up a copy of Spin magazine, and I don't know any of the people they're writing about.
Well, Grampy, that's our age.
Is it our age? Because I try to keep my ear to the ground a little bit. You know, I know some
Once
of these bands
29
are.
You're 29 and a half.
But is that it? You know, I try to think when I was your age.
A couple years ago.
What was really flying by that I was grabbing onto? I mean, there's a lot of garage rock and punk rock and stuff. I mean, I don't know. It's very weird. My brother, who's kind of a square yuppie, calls me up the other day and says, I love this new band, Wild Flag.
Okay. Oh, new, brand new.
Right. He's like, wow, they're so great. And like, he'd never even heard of Slater Kinney, right? So he was coming out of nowhere for him. And he's like, he just said, oh man, Jack White's awesome. You know this guy, Jack White? He's just now.
He doesn't know about the White Stripes.
He came to the game very late.
That's what I use my sister for, too. I'm like, hey, have you ever heard of this? You know, and if she has, then I know that they've kind of bubbled through.
Right, because his taste leans towards Bruce Springsteen and you, too. And when he calls me up and says, I love the Black Keys. I saw them last night. They're fantastic.
And you're like, that has bubbled into... I mean, that's good, too. I use my family as well. They're in northern Minnesota, and they've not heard of probably most of what I do. They've heard of, like, the Indigo Girls, a few things like that. But I use them as a sounding board, not for if they've heard of stuff, but if stuff has...
They like
if it's catchy. I'm like, I use that. I remember this band's doing really well. I'm not doing this one, but I did the one where they broke through. It's Trampled by Turtles, and I was in northern Minnesota, and they gave me...
I don't know who they are.
Yeah, well, they gave me this... They just sent me the stuff, New Manager's Rough, and I listened to it, and I went, this is super talented, and they had not had any national press and hadn't done anything, and I played it for my family, and they dug it, and I just thought... this is going to be huge. And so it's like sometimes playing stuff for like the squares and just saying, do you hear something in this, is awesome. You know, the squares. Sorry, family.
Well, the world's caught up to it in a lot of ways. Like I say, they play the Ramones at baseball games now. Right. We used to get beaten up for listening to that shit. I mean, you were a real outsider. Absolutely.
Did mushrooms to my first Ramones show in 80, Minneapolis. Everybody was tripping. It was awesome. Yeah, you know, I'm 100.
That stuff now. I mean, they play Slayer at the NFL. The speed metal. The world's caught up to it. It's not so risque anymore. You know, what was once subversive is now basically just redundant.
Mainstream. Iggy's a spokesman for all kinds of shit.
Cruise lines, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that is his age demographic, though.
When he went into
Do you want to go on a cruise with Iggy and your kids?
You know, when he got into the so-called, like, rock and roll Mall of Fame, that fucking wax museum out, you know, I hate that fucking thing, you know? But to me, that was, like, really, that was the final, that was it.
Are you backing Axl?
No, I'm not backing anybody. Why would anybody want to be involved? Look, I don't blame for these guys who want to have a career.
He will not be in the Hall of Fame, and he will not even have it inferred that he even wants whatever.
So the drummer of Guns N' Roses wants to go to the ceremony, it's going to help his career, whatever, mazel tov, you know? But seriously, like, Iggy lobbied to be in there. Did. I mean, he worked hard to get in there. And I always thought that rock and roll was going to be like crushed by, you know, by some Rick Santorum type family values creep and by the media conglomerates. Okay, but I didn't see it happening is it was going to eat itself.
Crushed
and
by the weight of its own ego.
Yeah, but seriously. I mean, why would you want, I mean, I get it. Iggy's had
I think
a,
he doesn't want to starve to death in his old age and live under a bridge.
No one deserves it more than Iggy Pop, who's worked so fucking hard over these years.
You know what,
used to go see him, like, you know, at the Peppermint Lounge, you know, playing for a few hundred people with his pants around his knees. I mean, doing the whole show like that.
I mean, I remember seeing the Glenn Matlock tour in 79, and he still cut himself, and I was like so stoked. I was like, I want some blood.
I want blood.
Yeah, I want to see you do that.
Glenn Matlock's still a good looking man.
Is he?
Yeah.
He was a sweet man.
Oh, Where'd
you see him?
His band was so fucking bad. Like, so
he played with Robert Gordon.
He was doing a solo thing. It was opening at the one of the Ramones' birthday bashes, and it was just it looked like he just got his band off of St. Mark's Place that afternoon, and they brought their clothes down at like trash vault, but an hour before the show.
Ouch.
I mean, it was like so faux punk. It was really bad.
Oh,
that's a shame.
Does punk rock even exist anymore?
Really,
Is there any more punk rock, Heather?
No.
You're nodding your head. No. What happened?
Honey. Come on, man.
You know what I think? I think there is punk rock because I think every generation. I was explaining this to somebody last night, and I was like, we're just jaded because we saw Iggy. We saw all this shit. But if you were 19 and you saw, like, the new band from Brooklyn that sounds punk rock and is raw, and it's the first time you heard it, and you were with your friends, and you got laid that night, and you scored some drugs, you would think you saw the most bitchin' thing ever. And you saw the very soul of punk rock, because you wouldn't have the real thing to compare it to. So every generation has their
That's very optimistic, and I do tend to agree with that, actually, because...
Yeah.
Sure, because when we were 19, we were getting hit with it the first time.
Yeah.
Of course, what we were getting hit with was the stuff...
The real shit.
It was undiluted first generation.
Right,
but
right.
Also we had to work...
We
harder.
Had to fight for it.
Yeah.
It's just
And we
right
used to
there.
Get threatened to get beat up for
this
it.
This goddamn internet has ruined it. Everyone can listen to
I mean,
like,
the police used to line up on front of the shows and just grab us and beat the crap out
where
of us.
Where did you grow
up?
Where were you going to shows?
I grew up in Austin, and I started going to see punk rock shows in about 79 or 80.
Exactly.
And back then,
that's
they
exactly
were
me.
Out to kill you, and we used to have a whole system where we hauled any kid who looked even remotely drunk out the back door and threw him in the band's van. To keep the cops from just beating him to death.
Now
it's like it's all just there. They can just have it.
No, I think
the cops didn't beat us, but they definitely people would yell punker at you driving down the road.
Or the worst was New Wave.
Oh, God.
Or Devo. People used to yell Devo.
They used to
at
yell
me.
Devo.
Or
yeah.
B-52s. It's like, I have a mohawk, goddammit.
You know, I went to see the Talking Heads when I was like 14 at this really legendary place in Austin called the Armadillo World Headquarters.
I remember
and,
that.
And it was a great show, but I was standing outside talking to the doorman at like 4 p.m. and this like tiny Subaru, remember when they were little, really small?
Oh, yeah.
Station wagon pulled in, and it was like a clown car. All these people were unloading out of it with all these props and shit that you couldn't imagine how they fit in there. And it was the Talking Heads.
Wow.
And it was like their first tour, like opening for Devo. I was like,
well, from tiny acorns, mighty oaks grow. Listen, we're almost out of time. Before we go, though.
Get out.
Obviously, it's the fastest 30 minutes on the internet today. Happy birthday, Judy.
Thank you.
Before we go, please tell everybody where they can find you so they can hire you and become rich and famous. like the Talking Heads, which you helped unload, and that was the start of their career. Clearly, you took them on the map.
I made it happen for those people. You know what I'm saying?
And Squeeze is doing very well, thanks to Angie Carlson.
I feel like I should mention a bunch of my bands. I'm working Portland Cello Project, who are geniuses who can arrange anything. They did Pantera's Vulgar Display of Power for the 20th anniversary, and people that saw Pantera in Portland showed up and sang along impromptu. It was a moment. And the older you get, the more shit you see, the harder it is to have those moments, and I love them.
Well, if you can promote a cello project.
I fucking love them. And John DuFillo from Apples and Stereo has a record, a Squeeze. Amy Ray, I'm going to go see her tonight with Kaya Wilson. Love them at City Winery. WFUV show. What else? Mercedes.
Where can people find you, Andy?
Propeller Publicity.
Andy.
On them interwebs.
Propeller Publicity, Andy Carlson, and Heather West of Western Publicity. Yes. Are you tweeting? Website?
Western Pub is my Twitter account, westernpublicity.com, and everyone should go see a great power pop band tonight. It's Tommy Stinson's new band, and they're really good. And also, everyone should go see the opener, which is Trapper Shep and the Shades. They're a super young band from Milwaukee, and they're amazing.
Awesome. We will do that. We love Tommy Stinson of Guns N' Roses.
You know what? Tommy Stinson, me being old Minneapolis person, I used to see him at parties like 16 and stuff. And I remember one time he gelled his hair, and I went, "Hey, Duran Duran." That was what I came up with.
The Replacements were new wave. And with that, Judy, happy birthday one more time.
Thank you.
It's from, like,
happy
the Judy
birthday.
Show on the Heritage Radio Network. I got a little special birthday music for you. Let the party start.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.